I've got a mic around my neck, so I don't need that one back. Good to see everyone here today. We've got some old friends here. The Maddens are here. Neo's right there with the beard. And there's Mark, and there's Debbie. And they used to live up the road here, and they attended church, and now they're like at Greenville. Are you in Greenville? Okay, they're in Greenville. They drove up for a little ride this morning. Now, just a couple things that we're going to be changing up. You notice that I have placed here the offering plates. We, instead of using that box back there to put our offerings in, that's going to be a suggestion box, and we're going to be receiving the offering in traditional way. All right? I have a couple ushers ready for next week. Next week is Palm Sunday, so keep that in mind. And we'll be distributing palms, and I have some folks to help do that. So I want you to remember those things. Save that offering for here. As I was putting the plates out, I was thinking about our first pastorate in good old Beaverdale, PA. And down in Beaverdale, if you were the preacher, you lived on a free will offering. Whatever came in a little blue envelope was what you lived on. I've told you this story before, but I'm old, and so you can hear it again. So our first week after coming from Toccoa Falls College and living in with my brother and his wife and family till we got called to Beaverdale, our first week we got $32, okay. The next week, free, green stamps. I told you that last week. And Sunday night was all the change in the offering plates. So we were always glad how God provided. And we always believe, and I believe, that every act that we do in this service is an act of worship. So our giving, our singing, our praying, our scripture reading are all acts of worship that we want to glorify God, lift Him up, and that we, over the next few weeks, will be making a few more changes. And so keep that in mind. Keep Baker happy and you'll be all right. All right? Okay. All right. We won't bail out on you too soon. Now I'm going to turn this on in case I need it. Okay. Take your hymn books and in that hymn book in the back, responsive reading number 690. How long has it been since we've done this one? Responsive reading number 690. The Exaltation of Christ. Let's stand together if you can, and we'll read God's word together. It's not page 690, it is that number in the back, 690. And I'll read the darker print, and if you read along responsively, the lighter. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name.
Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and
And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice,
"Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, and wisdom and strength, and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Father God, we lift our hearts to you, O Lord, giving thanks for the many benefits and blessings you have given us. I pray this day a great outpouring of your Spirit in our hearts as we gather around your word. As we bow before you, we ask that we might see your mighty hand at work in the hearts and minds of a world that needs to know your Son as their Savior. A world that is in darkness, that needs to see the light that Jesus has opened to show us the way. Help us to be kind and receptive to the needs of our friends and neighbors. Help us as a church family to join with you to grow this church with your leading and blessing. We don't know where to go, we don't know what to do, or we don't know what steps we should take, but you do. And so I pray that you will give us direction. May we have that help that's needed from on high. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I like this. I'm glad for these new faces, and the seats are filling up next week. Next couple of weeks, we won't have room. We'll have to go to the parking lot. Well, this week, you all know that I'm a hospice chaplain here for, I work for Penn Highlands. And so I maneuver my days and my hours here. I'm doing 10 hours here at the church and working doing all the things that I can do. And then I'm hospice chaplain, but every third Thursday, they round you in, they rake you in. I am involved in grief counseling over in Brookville at the WRC or Penn Highlands office over there. I go at 2:30 every third Thursday, and sometimes they come, sometimes they don't come. And in comes a gal, hadn't seen her before. Before I could say anything, she started to cry. "Come in, dear. We'll do what we can to help you." And she just wept. She couldn't speak. And finally, she calmed down, and I said, "What is it?" her son, 22 years old, passed away. But he took his own life back in September. What do you say? You can't say it'll be all right, because it won't ever be all right. You can't say, I understand what you're going through, because I don't. You can't say anything, but God can help you through this. That's the only thing I could say. And we talked, and she told me the story, and it was sad, very sad, and she found him, and oh, it was just a terrible situation that she found herself in, and the whole family. We look at Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read this whole portion, chapter 2, 1 through verse 18. And there's that word there in the first line, if there's any consolation. You know, we like to console people, and that's what it's talking about here. But remember that the book of Philippians is a book of joy. It's filled with joy. It's that thank you letter that I've been reminding you about every week. Paul is writing a thank you letter to that church at Philippi for their support and their great care for the gospel and living a life that's pleasing unto God. And Paul says here in the second chapter, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. And that doesn't mean be a busybody. Okay, let's move on. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We'll hit on that topic. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God who without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. Now, back in verse 1, in that first section, verses 1 through 4, we'll look at that. There's that word consolation. And there's also that word if, that if word. And Paul is saying, exchanging that word if for since, all right? Since you have encouragement from being united with Christ, since you have experienced God's love, and since you have fellowship through the Holy Spirit, and since you have affection and compassion for one another, he reminds them that he knows these things are true in their lives. They're qualities that are part of the believers' lives in Philippi. Now, if we have encouragement in Christ, as they had encouragement in Christ, we receive strength for situations that we thought we could never happen to us. This young mother, if she only knew Christ, if she only had a relationship with the Lord, if she only had given her heart and her life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he would give her the strength that she needs for her other children. Pray that this mother will seek that help. We have encouragement in Christ. We have strength. We have hope. We have courage as believers in Christ. And it all comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. These folks at Philippi, this thing is bugging me. Just a minute. We're having all trouble with ourselves. That's better. Okay. These people at Philippi, they're the born-again kind of believer. We were in Canada fishing. And we were up there in a little cottage, my brother and his wife and all the kids, and that's when the kids were little, and all 10 of us fit in one cottage. And this cottage was owned by the family, the Millers. The Millers were good people. Not like the Millers that are on TV, if you know, but I'm not going to go into that, TV Millers. And so Mr. Miller told us, if anything goes wrong, please, please let me know, and I'll come and take care of it. Well, we went to church on Sunday morning. We stopped at the cottage, we stopped at the office, and I said, I left a note, the stove doesn't work. But we'll do, we can get by till tomorrow. I don't want you to have to come out on Sunday. So pretty soon he comes out across there with his pickup truck, and he comes in with his toolbox, and he said, what's going on? I said, the stove doesn't work. And he said, probably I should have put a new fuse in the box. Okay, so he tightened the fuse in the box somewhere. And I said, well, we're Christian folks, and we don't want you to have to work on Sunday. He said, are you the born-again kind? I said, we are the born-again kind. And he said, doesn't that have a sweet ring about it? And it does. It has a sweet ring about it, the born-again kind. There are a lot of Christians, but not all the born-again kind. So we have strength, we have hope, we have courage because of being born again. We have comfort from love. God's love brings reassurance and stability when all else fails. When we've tried it all, we always have to remember that God loves us, that God is with us. We have fellowship of the Spirit. We share a deep bond because of the Holy Spirit living and dwelling in us. We have a bond. We're united because of Jesus Christ. And Paul is telling these Philippian Christians, here's what's going on. And I know that you have this fellowship and you have this bond and we have affection and compassion. The Spirit produces tenderness and mercy, genuine care among believers. We need to be praying. We need to step up and do what we can to help our brothers and sisters. The big idea, Philippians 2:1 teaches that unity in the church is rooted in what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We're united. We are in a situation here, and I say we because I'm with you. I talked to someone the other day and said, oh, we'd like to see you at church. And they said, and they went to church here and they said, you'll go in a year and then what? Oh boy. So we've got to work together to get rid of that idea, work together to not fall into the trap of murmuring and gossiping. I'm not saying you will, but there's gossip out there. I'm just talking turkey to you folks today. And I haven't been sitting on my laurels in that office, but I've been talking with people. And we've got to pray and defeat these negative things that are being said about the church. That it's failing, that it's closing its doors, and there's no use coming here. Oh, that just gets me. But anyway, we'll move on. In the early days of this community of believers, a group gathered that were interested in an Alliance Church here, and our district church developer, Bill Wood, over in Punxsutawney, came and met with them, and they got a core group, and that core group kept growing, and then they met at various places, and the group got bigger and bigger, and eventually they landed this piece of property. I think that this piece of property, Lucy may tell you, what was up here before, Lucy? Do you know? Was it were they people dump garbage? There was nothing here, and the church bought the property because nobody wanted it, I guess. And here we are on top of this hill. But the couples met and prayed. They planned. They sought God's face, and the church was built. Along came the first pastor, did a great job. Along came the second pastor. He was wonderful. He was marvelous. Oh, Debbie, that was me. Okay, all right. He was wonderful. He was marvelous, and things just kept going. We added on, and you know, here we are. There was a lot of planning, but it wasn't planning that was not covered in prayer. Planning that was covered in prayer. Now, we're having two prayer meetings on Wednesdays. We have one at 10:30 and we have one at 6:30. If you can come, join us. Join us in prayer so that we can have a great outpouring of the Spirit upon this endeavor to bring this church back to life through God's will. Now, unity to Paul, to the Apostle Paul, looks like this. That we all have the same love, that we all have the same mind, that we all have the same purpose, that we're going in the same direction, that we have a plan before us, and we're going to work towards seeing that plan fulfilled. There are barriers to blessing, though. If we do it for some selfish ambition, I don't think one person is doing it for selfish ambition or conceit. And the remedy for getting things going is humility, putting others above yourself. I remember a Christian worker telling me that they were in a village, and they went in this village after the village was involved in a battle, a fight there in the Congo. Many of the villagers were killed. Everything was burned down. There was hardly anything left of the village and very little food. And so the missionaries came and they brought bread and some food and tried to help a bit. And they gave one girl a loaf of bread. She took that bread and she broke it up in pieces and gave it out to a group of children that didn't have mom and dad anymore. And she distributed it all, and it came back to her. There was nothing left. And the missionary said, that little girl, that young girl, said, I'm full. I don't need anything. I have all that I need. And the missionary said, that girl was full of love. Not filled with bread, but full of love. Philippians 2 says to esteem others better than ourselves. Folks, let's not think of our comfort and our ease, and don't say, I'm old and I can't do it. Don't do it. I'm 78 and a half. My wife is younger. I won't say her age. We can do. God will make a way. God will provide. Isn't that right, Joe? You believe it. We believe it. Our elders believe it, that God will make a way. Now, I have on my phone, I watch this on Facebook. I watch a place called D-A-L-S-C-O-N-E, Dalscon Farms in Scotland. They've got this big farm where they raise sheep, they raise goats, they raise those little hairy cows, and I like to watch that. And those goats are amazing, and they're hopping around, and they're all fun to look at. But there's a story about two goats that were up in the mountains. Out west, you know how those goats travel on those rocks and climb up. And these two goats both were taking the same trail. Goat number one didn't want to back off. Goat number two wasn't gonna back off. So they locked horns and they fought and they couldn't get past, they couldn't go. So finally, goat number one knew what he had to do. And he just hunkered down and let goat number two walk over him so that they could keep going the way they should go. Now, when we're talking about humility and unity, sometimes we have to take the low route to go. Sometimes we have to. Christ did, didn't he? The example is Christ. In verses 5 through 11, we see that. Let the mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christ is our example in this matter of humility. And we see it there in those verses. I was on the hay wagon next to my granddad Pup. And he had horses, two horses pulling the hay wagon. My dad was in the back. And on the seat between Pup and I was a jug of water. And my dad said, "Ray, don't drink all that water." I was about 4 years old or whatever, five. "Ray, don't drink all the water. I'm going to need some." And I kept going and I kept drinking and it was gone. And Dad came up to get a drink of water. And he said, "Ray, did you drink?" I never forgot this. "Did you drink all the water?" And Pup piped in, "It sure was good, buddy." My dad was called Buddy. "It sure was good, buddy." And he took it upon himself and rescued little Ray Baker. He took the responsibility. He took the blame on himself. And we consider Christ, what he has done for us. He didn't cover a mistake. He took our sin upon himself. He left heaven. He entered a dark world. Our world is exceedingly dark now. His people rejected him. The world rejected him. He was betrayed by Judas. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was stripped. He was nailed to the cross. And he knew all that. And he still came. And we've heard that story time after time after time. But it's still amazing that he left his home in glory and came to this world. Amen? Amen. Okay, I want to make sure you're awake. Let's not cling so tightly to our rights. Let's be continually concerned about others. Let them know that we care. In verses 12 and 13, there you go. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." Ed's sitting back there in the corner. Are you back there, Ed? What do you think it means to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Speak up, you can talk. I know it. What do you think? Is it some magic formula that we have to do? Not at all. We're saved. We know Christ is our Savior. And we need to work the work that God has put in our lives already. We need to use the things that God has already given to us. He's had a plan. He's got a plan. Part of that plan would be that you would be saved. And he's known you even before you were born. And he's got a work for each of us to do. Oh, Lord, what is it? I can't speak. Well, Jeremiah said that. And God says, I'll put the words in your mouth. And he touched his mouth and he spoke. Well, I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. But there's something that you can do. In this whole scheme of things that we call the Christian life, we work out that salvation. We do the jobs that God has given us to do. What a good plan. We can't go wrong as long as we do them and put them to work. We could see this church filled if we keep on plugging away and do the work that he's called us to do. Isn't that right, Lois? Amen. I got to put all these things here so I don't fall over. Oh, and look what I have. It's like Charles Stanley. I've got a stool. Every now and then my legs, believe it or not, get, I don't know why, they get shaky. I'll have to go to a physical therapist. But I just need just a moment just to rest my back, and then I'm raring to go and we'll keep on moving. Christ knew all that he would have to go through, and he came in spite of it all so that we could be in this place worshiping God. If you've ever been to the Jefferson Manor or McKinley or any of these places, and Joe knows what I'm talking about, we often see, and I see these stroke victims, and I see the physical therapist or one of the aides walking behind the person holding onto a little strap and walking and saying, don't worry, I'm right here. Don't worry, just keep walking. And I'll catch you if you fall. How many of you have seen that kind of situation? Don't be afraid, I've got you. God is inside of you. An amazing plan. You're not on your own. And he's inside of you, giving you all that you need for your life and the power to do what pleases him. That's working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Use what God has blessed you with. You're not trying to get salvation. You're letting salvation transform you. And you're getting life, the life that God has prepared for you. And that includes the way you speak to others, the way you handle hardships, the way you make discussions and decisions, the way you reflect Jesus in your life. Mrs. Gere, the other day I was down at the McKinley, and she was working. She works a day or two now and then, and she was talking to another person. And I was looking for that person, and the next thing you know, I sat down, and they said somebody's passed away. The family would like you to come. And I went, and she was stuck with that gal, but she was there before I even came in the room. But the Lord has given her opportunities to witness to that lady, she told me this morning. Just take those opportunities. Just take them. And do everything without grumbling, verses 14 and through 16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Do everything without grumbling. Now, my wife never grumbles. We sent off the lawnmower to get the blades sharpened and the oil changed and get it serviced for the year. And she does not grumble when I say, Judy, the lawn needs mowed. And out she goes. I'll come home and that thing will be just perfect. And a fella said to me the other day, where do you live? I said, we live across from where they fly those little remote. Your grass always looks so perfect. And I thought, oh yeah, it takes a lot of mowing. I didn't say, I should have said Judy did it, but she does it without grumbling. The Lord doesn't want us to grumble. It's right there. He doesn't want us to grumble. Do everything in serving him without grumbling. Oh no, do I have to do that again? No, no. Neo, you can't grumble. Okay, remember that, Neo. I'm sure he doesn't ever. What the Lord wants is us to shine like stars. Shine like stars in a dark world. Hold firmly to the word of life. If you got a dark star, if you got a dark sky, you can see a star there. It'll be like a beacon. In a complaining world, we need joyful people. And then there's joy in sacrifice. There was a lighthouse keeper who only got so much oil to keep the lamp lit. But the neighbor said, I need some oil for this, I need some oil for that. And he started giving it away and giving a couple gallons here, a couple gallons there. And next thing you know, the light isn't working anymore and there's a ship wrecks. The ship cracked. Now we're to all give out and give for God. Paul said, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. Well, I had to look that one up. What's a drink offering? It sounds like something that would come from the bar. And what happened back in the day when there were sacrifices and they would kill lambs and pour the blood on the altar, other people would bring their very best wine and they would pour it on the altar as a gift to God. And Paul said, it's as if I'm being poured out as a drink offering. I'm giving my life because of what Jesus has done for us. A life poured out and filled with joy. This is all I'm asking you. There's the bottom line. We're down at the end. You're saying, I can't wait for the final amen. I used to be a kid sitting in the back. Well, we just got one kid sitting here. She's not waiting for the final amen, I'm sure. I couldn't wait till the preacher gave that final amen. How long is it going to take? Isn't it amazing that Jesus never took a sword? Peter cut off the ear of who? Malchus. He cut his ear off and Jesus put it back. But Christ never took a sword. He took a towel. And he washed the feet of the disciples and patted those feet clean, dry. I'm just asking you that we might be unified in our attempts to grow this church bigger and better. Numbers aren't the answer. People are the answer that need to know Christ. The way up is down. Think about that. The way up is down. Humble yourselves and pray and seek God's face. Humility and unity come through that relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Malia, come on. And the other 1,000. I told folks the other day we had under 1,000. They said, how many people do you have a church? I said, under 1,000. So there.